podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
Hey, this is Chris, and welcome to episode 35 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you all for downloading so many episodes that I had to upgrade my bandwidth on my account again. So now this is costing me as much as a car payment or a house payment, I guess, these days, huh? With all that going on. But anyhow, I do it because I like doing it. So I'll have to find some way to monetize this. Maybe I can get sponsored by my guest today, which was Steve Bourne from Hammergel. Interviewed him today. That's what's going to be on the episode. And he is an interesting guy. A big endurance athlete, cyclist, but obviously some sort of mad scientist when it comes to nutrition and fueling and all that stuff. So some of it gets pretty technical, but I found it kind of interesting. I'm not sure I understand half of what he was saying, but I did find it interesting. So we're going to talk to him today. Got some other tips for you. And so what's going on with me? Ran a 5K on Saturday. Didn't feel real great. Ended up with kind of a slow time, but I think it was just around 7-minute miles. Came in third in my age class, which this is one of those races where everybody who enters wins something. And it was kind of fun. Didn't take the dog with me. Just went out and ran it. It was all alone most of the race. And it felt kind of weird, though, going for an ultra to a 5K. Pretty slow feeling, actually. Actually feeling kind of slow. Haven't been doing a lot of speed work. And I did go out and run the night before with Buddy. We did our typical lazy 10K loop in the woods, so I'm sure that impacted a little bit. Then Sunday afternoon, after my 5K, after I took a shower and such, had a little coffee and some eggs and those sort of things, hooked up with Jill, my massage therapist, and got a good rub down for my quads. And, you know, that massage therapy is a really good thing in terms of the healing power of it. And it's not just, you know, rubbing the muscles. She knows where to put the pressure and where to. Sometimes she's just holding the muscle. And I swear, some people have like healing powers. You know, this goes back to the Danny Dreyer thing with the chi. You know, you can almost feel their energy. If you work with them, you can almost feel their healing energy, you know, going into your muscles. So I'm not being religious or mystic or atavistic about it, but I think it works. And if I think it works, then God love the placebo effect. So anyhow, we're going to talk to the guy from Hammer Nutrition today, and I'm going to give you some tips. And hey, on with the show. Hope you enjoy it. Oh yeah, big news. The reason you don't hear a bunch of noise is my truck is fixed. All you can hear is the windshield wipers right now because it's raining. And I'm in the mobile production studio here on my way home because I'm forced to dual task a lot in my busy life. But the truck, new drive shaft, much joy. Turns out I had a bent drive shaft. So me and my father, mostly my father, fixed it, and it's all good to go. So a new set of tires, new drive shaft. Good as new. Getting a few 100,000 more miles out of my old truck. There you go. Life's good. See ya.
And now for the equipment check.
So I went running at lunch today from work, and I had packed my stuff before I left. And obviously, I don't know about you, but I do this. I pack my clothes based on what the weather was the day before, which is typically a fairly bad indicator of what the weather's going to be today, especially in New England where the weather changes every day. So today we got a front move through just about lunchtime when I was going running, and I ended up running in this sort of very windy, freezing cold, pouring rain. and it was already freezing cold, pouring rain before I started out to run, but I went anyhow because I really don't mind running in the rain. There's a couple of tips for you, though, in terms of running in the rain and the equipment you want. As it starts getting colder now and you're not sure about the temperature, what you want to get a good pair of cotton gloves, little running gloves, because you can always take those off, and if you keep your hands warm, it keeps the rest of your body warm. And the other thing that's important is to have a hat, and if you're running in the rain, it's good to have a hat with a brim so it keeps the rain out of your eyes, because if it's not in your face, you can pull the brim down if it gets windy and rainy, and it keeps it out of your face and your eyes, and that really, you know, makes a big psychological difference, even though you're running in the pouring rain. And it won't kill you. Once you're wet, you're wet, and especially a cool rain like this, it's kind of nice because you're not sweating and you can run harder. You know, you end up being soaked right away, but as soon as you're soaked, you're soaked. The big concern is chafing. I made the mistake today of not putting my Aquaphor on my pointy bits, and the thing with water is it's not a lubricant, it's a wetting agent, which is not W-E-T, it's W-H-E-T, and it's what they put on something to increase the friction. So when you're wet with water, your clothes will actually rub more, and they'll be like sandpaper. So it increases the friction. So I made that mistake today, and I have some raw pointy bits as a result. So that's one thing. You're going to go run out in the rain. Make sure you put a little lubrication on your pointy bits. And then the second thing is with your shoes, right? The only thing I hate about running in the rain is getting my shoes wet, because then I can't, you know, I don't like wrecking my shoes. So what you do after you're done running in the rain with your shoes and they're wet, you want to get them opened up, you know, loosen up the laces, pull the tongue out, get them opened up, and stuff them with some dry newspaper, and do that a couple of times, and that'll get them to dry out, because you really don't want to leave them wet, especially if you're going to run in them again. It's bad to run in the wet shoes. I find it makes them break down a lot faster. They just don't like it. So that is my equipment check for today, my friends.
And now for our featured interview.
And we're back, live. Steve?
I am here.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, no, I'm here. I pressed one and says, you ready to go, so let's do it.
Let's go. So, Steve Bourne, you are, okay, so how do you describe your role here for Hammer Nutrition? Are you like the evangelist, or sounds like a pretty cool job. You basically get to go around to events and pass out free stuff.
That's part of it. I wear many hats in the company. I've been with Hammer for almost 9 years. I've been using their products since, I'm dating myself, but since the late 80s, early 90s, before they, became hugely popular. So I've been kind of with the company as a sponsored athlete and then as an employee for a long, long time, over about 2 decades. And my main job is the technical term is the senior advisor, which means that I help athletes answer questions they may have, especially in regards to their fueling plan, their supplement program. I also manage all of the events that we sponsor. When I started taking over that area of the company, we sponsored maybe 100 events annually. Now we're in almost 2,200.
Yeah.
So you name it, if it's endurance, there's a pretty good chance you'll see Hammer there. I also do seminars and clinics. I go to events, run the expo booth, and I write a lot of our mailers, which we call Athlete Education Series, and I'm the editor of the newsletter. So, yeah, I got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first time I remember seeing any Hammer Nutrition products was in a long trail race that I entered in, like, 1997 or 98. And at that point, the only place you'd find them would be the really tough and gnarly endurance events. You'd find some Hammer products. They weren't mainstream yet.
In the realm
yet.
Of running, we are still, like, our number one running sport is, the ultramarathon trail runs, the 30K to 50, 30K, 100K mile trail running events. Oh, last count, I think we were in about 130, 140 of them.
Yeah,
we're starting to branch out more into, a little bit shorter races, full-fledged marathons. Some of them are just so large that, you know, they're just like budget busters, you know, these 8,000 participant ones. But
right.
We are expanding into more road marathons. But, yeah, we've been ultra trail running for a long, long time.
Well, tell me a little bit about the company history and the, you know, what were the first products and how did this all start?
Well,
out in Whitefish, Montana.
Actually, the company started, and this is many years before I started working for him. The company was started by a guy named Brian Frank, who's in his early 40s, who's just a smart guy in terms of nutrition and marketing. And he started in the Bay Area in 1986, 87, late 80s.
Uh-huh.
At that time, the company was called ECAPS, which was an acronym for Enerzymes Coenzymes Athletic Performance System. And at that time, there were only a couple of products available, and they were supplement products. They were general health and athletic performance-enhancing supplements. And so the company basically was an endurance athlete supplement company until the early 90s when he started getting into the realm of fuels.
Right.
He felt that there were far too many fuels that relied on simple sugars and artificial ingredients and kind of junk food ingredients to fuel athletes. And so with the event of Hammer Gel and then a product that was formerly called Energy Surge, which is now Sustained Energy, then began Hammer Nutrition. So we started off as a supplement company. We've obviously been expanding that. The focus is on fuels as well, and we've obviously been expanding that to incorporate everything from the Hammer Gel all the way to our recovery product, Recoverite. And last year, when we celebrated our 20th anniversary, we decided to retire the ECAPS name and put everything, all the supplements and the fuels, under the Hammer Nutrition banner. So everything that we sell, supplements, fuels, accessories, clothing, is all under Hammer Nutrition now.
Good stuff. Awesome. So, I mean, what's your is your target market still in the ultra endurance stuff? Is there anything? At what point does your average Joe 5K have to start worrying about nutrition products?
Well, I think in general health purposes, there's a lot of our products that are designed, we call them daily essentials. And the reason why we call them that, there are three products in that line. There's our multivitamin called Premium Insurance Caps. There's a product called Race Cap Supreme, which I love the name, but I don't think it does it justice because it sounds like it's just for racing. But the nutrients in that particular product are arguably some of the best nutrients you can take for cardiovascular health. The third product is called MitoCaps, M-I-T-O for mitochondria.
Yeah.
And the nutrients in that formula are based on the studies by doctors Bruce Ames and Tori Hagen on the effect of certain nutrients on the health and potential regeneration of the mitochondria within the cells, which obviously has athletic performance benefits, but also general health benefits. So to your question, the someone doing a 5K or a 10K can most likely, if they've been training sufficiently, can probably do the thing on water alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And supplementation isn't needed. On the other hand, general health benefits speaking, those three daily essential products, the Premium Insurance Caps, Race Caps, Supreme, and MitoCaps, as good as their athletic performance-enhancing benefits are, I think the general benefits or the general health benefits, I mean, far, far outshine them. Just as an example, I have my entire family on them, including my parents who are in their mid-70s, and it's solely for the purpose of general health benefits. So I think everyone, athlete, non-athlete alike, you know, whether you're doing a 5K or, you know, a 100-mile ultra run, you know, even non-athletes can benefit from some of our products. And
That's interesting, because I didn't know you guys had sort of the daily regimen stuff. So you're saying instead of your, handful of multivitamins that you take in the morning from your local pharmacy, you guys have sort of a athlete-designed regimen to pick up the slack for some of the damage you might be doing to yourself running your,
oh, absolutely.
You know, running five times a week.
I'm a big proponent of antioxidants, and you know the majority of the nutrients in our products have at least to some degree antioxidant properties. But just for example, in the case of the Race Cap Supreme, the two primary nutrients in the product, coenzyme Q10 and idebenone, are well-known cardiovascular health nutrients. There's just, I mean, you could spend months online looking at all the benefits for both of those nutrients, which are very similar. And speaking purely on an on a general health basis, you know, I wouldn't miss a day for of taking those two that product, or and specifically those two nutrients, solely for the general health benefits. There's just, you know, the way I look at it, a supplement, by and large, needs to, if it's going to tout itself as an athletic performance-enhancing substance, it has to work in cooperation with the body. It doesn't want to override normal body mechanisms. You know, it doesn't want to haywire the adrenal glands or anything like that. It doesn't want to, you know, get your, you know, central nervous system all jacked up. It has to work in cooperation with the body, and it also has to have some crossover benefits for general health as well. If it doesn't, it's probably not one I'm going to keep on my shelf. But you know, we have a full line of products and of supplements, and we've broken them down into categories, one of which is the three supplements, the daily essentials that we think everyone, athlete, non-athlete alike, would benefit from. And we also have supplements that are good for just diet optimization, and then obviously things for recovery. But yeah, we have everything for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I often wondered about that because you know you can, your average person who isn't doing a lot of exercise has a certain, you know, nutritional need and a certain supplement need. You know, if you take somebody like me who's running, you know, 30, 40 miles a week every week for their whole life, I've got to figure that my nutritional needs and my supplement needs are probably different than, you know, your Flintstones one a day.
Absolutely.
Vitamin.
Yeah, if only because of the fact that, first of all, you know, exercise is always going to outshine not exercising. I mean, the benefits of exercise are clearly known. So, you know, even though there are some people that say, oh, exercise will age you prematurely, baloney. You know,
yeah,
the benefits
true.
Of exercise are proven. You know, I honestly believe that they have the potential to extend life and the quality of life.
Yeah.
The point I was going to make was that as an athlete, you are generating a lot more free radicals, or those substances that can damage the cells and the DNA of the cells, because you're consuming so much oxygen.
Yeah.
During exercise, you're producing a lot more free radicals, and you know that is one of the theories of aging. It's probably the primary theory of aging is the free radical. Theory of aging, and it's kind of like an old, you know, metal chair in the backyard rusting in the rain. Well, that's what's happening to our cells inside as part of the aging process, and that is believed to be the primary reason for premature aging and age-related diseases. So
it's purely it's a metaphor for oxidization.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, basically, what's keeping us alive, oxygen, is also what's killing us. So. The benefits of exercise are well known and documented and are undeniable, but there is a little dark side that does need to be addressed, and that is the free radical production that comes from exercise. And as an athlete, you're generating 12 to 20 times more free radicals than a sedentary person is. So, you know, that's why I'm a big believer in antioxidant support and basic replenishment of nutrients such as vitamins and minerals that you're depleting at greater rates than sedentary people do. So, you know, the 100% of the recommended daily allowance, I think that's a fairly archaic standard, and it doesn't take into account, you know, that's an old standard, and it doesn't really take into account, you know, today's society, which is much more toxic and polluted with...
Yeah.
Food supply being extremely diminished in the nutrient quality and density that it once had. So,
well, all those things were developed in, you know, by the government bureaucracy in World War II. I don't think any of that. It's just a guideline, you know.
It is a minimum guideline to keep you from getting a deficiency disease.
Right.
Meaning if you take, say, 60 milligrams of vitamin C every day, yeah, you're not going to get scurvy. But is that an ideal amount for optimal health? So that's why we use a standard in our multivitamin called the optimum daily intake, or the ODI, which reflects a little bit more up-to-date thoughts, processes, studies, research on what nutritional values are really needed by and specific nutrients.
Yeah, okay. So, but the three products I do use, I just did an ultra a month ago, actually almost a month ago to the day.
You did the Vermont.
Yeah, the Vermont 50, yeah. And the three products that I used in my training and in the race were Hammergel, which I've used before, you know. But I started drinking some Heed, and I really fell in love with the Endurolite capsules because I found they just made me... the Endurolites I fell in love with because they not only took the wall away or pushed the wall off, but they made me mentally clear as well, and that sort of blew my mind.
Well, that's you know, all of the fuels obviously are important, but I like to use the analogy, it's kind of a silly one, but I think it explains it. If the calories in the Hammergel and the Heed and our other products like Perpetuum, if the calories in that are your body's gasoline, it's what makes the engine run, the electrolytic minerals in Endurolites can be thought of as the body's motor oil. It's not what makes the engine run, but boy, it sure is important for keeping the internal parts working smoothly. So I would argue that the optimal performance of many important bodily functions, including mental function, central nervous system function, digestive function, cardiovascular function, and of course muscular function, their optimal performance is dependent at least in part to having adequate levels of electrolytes in the body. So the real reason you take that product is not so much to prevent bad things like cramping from happening. Of course you don't want to cramp, but by the time you reach cramping,
yeah, it's,
you know,
too late.
That stage, your performance has been going downhill for a long time, so you never want to reach that point. So just as surely as you are not waiting until you're dehydrated before you're drinking or bonking before you start eating, you don't want to wait until you start cramping before you start replenishing electrolytes, because, again, that's your body's motor oil, and it keeps a lot of important bodily functions working at optimum levels. So, and a lot of people look at that and say, well, darn, it comes in a capsule. It really doesn't look like fuel, but, boy, it's as important a part of your fueling component as anything you're eating or drinking. And the reason we put it in capsules is so that no matter what size the athlete is, no matter what kind of fitness level they're at, no matter what the weather is outside, no matter how well or poorly they're acclimated to the weather conditions, they can get their electrolytic mineral needs met more precisely with a capsule versus a one-size-fits-all type of product, or versus just salt tablets alone. You need all the minerals.
Yeah, and I'm curious because I'm gonna run a marathon this Sunday, coming up, a road marathon, just for sort of for fun, and I'm curious to I've never taken the Endurolites during a road marathon before. You know, I basically just fuel in terms of energy, not in terms of electrolytes. You know, except for the Gatorade and that sort of stuff, but not specifically the electrolytes. So I'm interested to see how it affects that last you know, 6 miles. Because if I get that same mental clarity that I had in the Ultra.
Well, I think one of the things that you'll notice in the product is we put a small amount of the amino acid tyrosine in there. Tyrosine, among other things, positively influences, I believe it's a thyroid gland, and a deficiency in thyroid gland productivity or function is feelings of anxiety, anger, you know, all of these things that you start to feel at the end of
the
day.
Yeah, right,
so,
right.
You know, tyrosine has also been used to help promote alertness. So it really is in there. It's not an electrolyte, but it's in the product because it helps optimize thyroid production or thyroid productivity, and it also helps with focus and concentration. So it's just kind of a nice bonus in the product. And I think that's one of the reasons why you're experiencing what you're doing. And just a thing about most of the sports drinks out there, most of them contain only a handful of contain an incomplete electrolyte profile. Most of them contain a little sodium and a little potassium. And I would argue that the sodium is in there primarily to help digest the carbohydrate source. And interestingly, the higher the sugar content, or the refined sugar like glucose, sucrose, fructose, the more sodium must be present in order for it to match your body fluid chemistry and be digested efficiently. Potassium, I would suggest, is in there by and large to act as a preservative of sorts. So does some of that help with your electrolyte needs? Yeah, to what degree, I don't know. But I would say that an overwhelming majority of it is in there because it has to be in there for digestive purposes. I think that not only is, you know, that an incomplete profile, but the amounts of those two minerals, sodium and potassium, are fairly minimal. And what I think what's really important, they're all important, but I actually think that for proper muscular function, calcium and magnesium are at least equal, if not more important than sodium, chloride, potassium, and, you know, any of the other minerals you can think of.
So the question I have for you is, can you take too much? Can you damage yourself by, can you OD on Endurolytes or any of this stuff?
No, yeah, you can OD on pretty much anything. You drink too much water, you'll get water intoxication and die. And I don't mean to make that a laughing matter, but it happens. I mean, too much of anything is not good. What we have done...
So what's my sweat rate is, let's take an example. My sweat rate is like 40 ounces an hour,
mm-hmm.
right? So what should I be taking in terms of your standard Endurolyte caps?
Well, you touch on an interesting point. I don't want to digress or divulge too far away from the subject, but it is interesting to note what your body is losing in terms of calories, salts, and fluids. But that is not as important as taking into account what can my body comfortably accept in return from me. The human body is simply not designed to replenish what it loses in amounts anywhere near that it's losing. So, you know, just in the case of fluid loss, most of the cases researched by Tim Noakes, who is the godfather of hydration research, and many others, have found that for most athletes under most conditions, most of the time, when they start flirting with, 30, 33 ounces up to a liter an hour or more, they run into some serious hyponatremia, water intoxication problems. They actually found that a fluid intake of somewhere between 16 and 28 ounces an hour, plus or minus a couple ounces depending on the size of the athlete and the weather, actually fulfilled hydration needs more completely without running the risk of dehydration or overhydration.
Uh-huh.
Same is true with calorie intake. Hey, you may be burning 600, 700, 800 calories an hour, but there is absolutely no way your body can accept anywhere near that amount in replenishment. That's why we have body fat stores.
Right.
We have a nearly limitless supply of calories available from body fat stores that very easily bridge the gap between what the body is losing and what it can comfortably accept from you. That's why for most athletes, 240 to 280 an hour, plus or minus some on either end, is an adequate amount for calorie replenishment. With the Endurolytes, our general rule of thumb is, one capsule per 50 pounds of body weight, adjusting that as needed based on a lot of variables such as your body weight, your fitness level, the weather outside, the terrain,
sure,
and how well or poorly you're acclimated.
Sure.
But
to
answer your original question, yeah, you can overdo it on any of these nutrients. If you take in too much magnesium, you'll get a laxative effect.
Yeah.
Same thing with true with vitamin C, and everyone's tolerance levels are going to be different. If you take in too much sodium, what happens is there's a hormone in the body whose basic function is to monitor levels of sodium in the blood, and when it senses that sodium losses are becoming too great to maintain homeostasis, it kicks in a very effective and complex set of mechanisms involving the kidneys that recirculate sodium and other minerals and fluids back into the bloodstream. when you take in too much sodium, too much salt, that mechanism, that hormone, aldosterone, which is, again, is responsible for recirculating sodium and thus conserving sodium stores, that gets shut down. And another hormone called vasopressin, or the antidiuretic hormone, that kicks in, and that causes the body to retain fluids and excrete excess amounts of sodium. In other words, when you try to replace X out with equal or near equal amounts of X in, you can disrupt a lot of hormonal functions in the body that are there to protect you in the first place. So the mantra we like to say is less is best, meaning it's a lot easier to fix a, I didn't take in enough problem versus a, I've overdone it problem.
And you know what, I you're saying one per 50 pounds, that's actually about the level that I, in my ultra training, that's about the level that I found was the right level.
Yeah, with the idea
that just experimenting with my own body, I was doing maybe one every 15 minutes because I'm about 200 pounds, right?
Yeah, and, so, and you know I weigh 185 pounds. My typical dose is 3 an hour, but you know I'm up in northwest Montana. We don't get too many hot days. Like right now, it's about 30 degrees outside. But,
yeah,
you know, I will lower the dose on cooler days if I go down. When I was competing in ultra distance bicycle racing. And I was in hot weather and I wasn't acclimated, I would take up to 6 an hour. The thing is that we have intentionally put specific amounts of each mineral in each capsule so that if one isn't enough, two isn't going to be overkill.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make sure that no matter what size the athlete is, they can meet their needs a little more precisely. And unlike calorie and fluid intake, which is pretty easy to figure out. I mean, we do know what the upper ceiling is, by and large, for both of those things. But electrolyte intake and electrolyte replenishment is the one area of athletic performance that requires the most personalized, customized fine-tuning. You know, what you need at 8 in the morning is going to be different than 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because the weather's changing. So you
have to You have to listen to your body.
You absolutely do. You have to test it in training, and when you get into a race, you have to have a game plan that you've tested in training, but as I like to say, you write it in pencil, not in ink, meaning that you don't want to be stubbornly slaving to that, you know, all, no matter what, I'm going to do my 3 an hour or whatever, so, you know, you want to be flexible with the dose. So, yeah, you can overdo it on anything, but it would be really hard to do with the Endurolytes because the increments of each mineral are not so high that if one capsule isn't enough, two isn't going to be overkill.
Yeah, and the other thing I found is you can catch up with those too. So if you start feeling the problem, you can chew one and you're back on track.
I've done that more times than I care to remember.
Yeah.
That product has saved my butt more times than I'd like to.
Yeah, it's almost instantaneous.
Yeah, and we do make it in a powdered formula. Which, you know, to be honest with you, the reason why we made it in a powder formula is for the athletes who just can't swallow a capsule during, you know, while they're exercising. It's too important a product not to have it available for those athletes. So, now some athletes will just use the, you know, a scoop or two or three in their drink mix, and that's equivalent to, you know, each scoop's equivalent to about a capsule, slightly over a capsule's worth of the encapsulated Endurolytes product.
Yeah.
The only downside to that, as convenient as it is number one, it's going to make whatever you're drinking taste fairly salty.
Yeah, it's very salty.
Oh, yeah. Number two, some of those minerals just don't dissolve completely in solution, so unless you shake up your bottle a little bit every time you drink, you're going to have some sediment. And number three, what you put scoop-wise in your bottle is your dose. You put the ceiling on the dose. So, you know, if all of a sudden that dose that you've pre-measured is no longer proving to be adequate, you're kind of screwed. So
when
people use that for the convenience sake, I always suggest at least take some capsules with you, just in case.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But we have a saying in the ultra-cycling world, better to be looking at it than looking for it, which just means, you know, I may never need this, but I'm sure going to be glad I brought it just in case.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. So we're coming up against our time limit here, Steve. So what's the future hold for Hammer? You got anything new coming out that we should know about?
Oh, what do we got coming out? Well, we're always tinkering with something. I designed two new supplements that we hope to have in our product line. Can't give you a lot of the details on them, one of which is a fat-soluble antioxidant product. We have a really killer antioxidant product called Super Antioxidant, and it's primarily designed to help neutralize water and some fat-soluble-based free radicals. I designed a product that is specifically designed for fat-soluble free radicals, so you get a little bit more complete protection, antioxidant, immune system support-wise. That's one of the products. The other one, still on the drawing board, we're coming up with a new flavor of Perpetuum, our long-distance drink. So that's in the works. We're always tinkering with new flavors of Hammer Gel. I'm not sure what's in the works, but we've always got the wheels of ideas going. Interestingly enough, for as many product designs as we come up with, it's rare that we come out with anything new, just because we want to make sure it works, obviously, that the amounts we put in are efficacious, and then it's cost friendly for the consumer. So we're real, real picky about what products we put out. So we've got a few things coming out. So
great.
2009 is going to be real exciting for us.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are doing really well. I certainly see you guys everywhere I go now, which I didn't used to. So that's good.
Well, like I said, we started at about 100 events annually. We're now probably going to break 2,200 this year in the U.S. alone. And fortunately, I have two great assistants that keep me from putting a gun to my head. It's a real juggling act trying to, keep 2,200 races and race directors, stocked with products exactly when they want it. But it's part of the fun. It's the best job in the world. I have no complaints.
All right. Well, thanks for talking with us. And hopefully there won't be a test on any of those phrases and terms and names of hormones that you just rattled up.
No problem. But I'll tell you what, we do have a really good customer support staff. My job is to help athletes take the guesswork out of fueling and supplementation. So they're always free to email us at support@hammernutrition.com. And if our customer support staff doesn't know the answer, they forward it to me, and I have other sources if it's a real technical question. I mean, we are about, good products, superb service, and second to none technical support. So it's the entire package.
Right. And what's the website is, I'll tell you, HammerNutrition, all one word, .com.
HammerNutrition.com.
All right, man. Well, thanks for the time. I appreciate
it. Great talking with you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Here's today's quick tips.
All right, there we are. On the Boy Scout Bridge here with Buddy. Beautiful day. About, 50 degrees. A lot of the leaves are down now, so it's a lot brighter in the woods. But the leaves are like 4 or 5 inches deep on the forest floor, so you got to be careful in the trails. It's hard to see where you're stepping. You twist an ankle. So anyhow, my tip for you today is with this, this sort of uncertain economic times and all the doom and gloom, I think what we should do is we should choose to run some road races. And I haven't run a whole lot of road races lately, but I'm going to run more. And I'm going to look at the charities that those road races go to. And I'm going to see where my money's going and see if I can make a direct contribution to things that are important to me, things that are important to other people, and step up, as it were, to help people out. So that's my tip, Give your $25 to something you care about, and we'll see you out there. All right, my friends, that's my running friends, my little running friends, change of the seasons, lose an hour this weekend. I'm going to run a marathon this weekend. That's interesting, isn't it? I'm just going to show up and run a marathon. Huh. That's usually not a good strategy. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to shoot for a 3:30, see how I feel. And what my strategy is in that is to try to stay within 2 minutes of my
of my target pace. Because my tendency, anyone who's ever run with me knows that I go out too fast. No matter what I say, I go out too fast. So I try to, now in my marathons, if I get more than 2 minutes outside of my pace boundary, I'll actually stop and walk a little bit just to slow myself down, because I have trouble holding, reining myself in. Looks like this episode's going to be a little bit long, but that's okay. I'll tell you what, just because it's a little bit long, I'll give it to you for half price. So there. What else is going on? I've been trading emails with some of my friends there. Sean from the Trilogy Running Podcast. I traded emails with Jody. I traded emails with, I saw Steve out there. I traded emails with Steve Chopper. And some interesting stuff like that. Steve Chopper, I guess, in one of his old original podcasts, he had interviewed Danny Dreyer from G Running as well. So you want to look to that. Thursday, I got a really cool out of the box interview that I'm putting together. It's with a guy named John Gordon, who wrote this book called The Energy Bus. And this guy is like a positive attitude guru, a pretty famous guy, and it has nothing to do with running, but I'm going to ask him stuff about running and see what he thinks. Also, I want to give a shout to my friend Gary, who if you read the blog on the Run Live website, the Runnerati blog, Gary's one of my bloggers, and Gary is a nut. He's from episode 8. He started running again 2 or 3 years ago and has since run 5 like back-to-back sub-3-hour marathons. And he's an old guy like me. So he's been on this ride. And so the last marathon he was running up for, I said, you know what, Gary? You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get an injury, and you're going to have to reassess this whole thing, because you can't just keep getting faster and going longer and beating the crap out of yourself. And sure enough, he ran the wine glass marathon, fell across the finish line, smashed his face, scraped it up, and tore a tendon in his big toe. So he's going to be off his feet for 6 months, and I think he'll really enjoy that once he gets around the loss. And it's just like anything. It's just like losing a friend. You go through like shock and loss and anger and all those phases. It's just like losing somebody when you lose your running like that, when you're really into it. But at the end, you end up being stronger, because you get to try different things and you get to understand, you get to realize how much you love it, and you get to appreciate it for what it is and realize you can't always go further and faster. And that's not about it. It's about the journey, not about the destination. So, hey, my friends, we will see you out there. As it starts to snow and the daylight is gone, see ya.
Music today is provided by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podjo.com, and I picked out an interesting little funky acoustic number by Ruth Theodore called Worm Food. So there you go. It sort of ties into the nutrition thing. See? Food. See how that works? You know what I'm saying? I know it's a stretch. What can I do? I don't have a lot of time, you know?
Trigger, I'm pulling your leg. But I know I'm not that bad. But we've all said things we shouldn't have, yeah. Like this song, it's easier said than sung. But I would not give up, and so let's not quarrel over who gets what. Cause I do not believe money won't grow on trees when their food is my fuel. I'm no exception, there's no rule. In the end, I know you think you don't blend in, but you do. Don't you know you're just worm food? Don't you know you're just worm food that's chasing that dream that's not quite what it seems? When the road is a running machine, yeah. So I put my hood as far as it will go over my head. I think of the thing that you did yesterday and things I should have said. And I know we're not that bad. And there were four shaped things we shouldn't have, yeah. But this song is easier said than sung. So I would not give up, so let's not quarrel over who gets what. 'Cause I do not believe money won't grow on trees when the food is my fuel. I'm no exception, there's no rule. In the end, I know you think you don't blend in, but you do, but you know you're just worm food. In the end, I know you think you don't blend in, but you do, but you know you're just worm food. Blend in, but you do. Don't you know you're just worm food that's chasing that dream that's not quite what it seems when the road is a running machine. Na, 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 na.
Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.